Mind. I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Henin. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Around the region, we're looking at some scattered showers throughout the day. One of these days, the sun is going to pop back up around the region. Bismarck, 51 in Bismarck, Mandan this hour. Williston at 60. 57 in Dickinson. Minot, 58. 54 in Garrison, Jamestown 53, Devil's Lake 54, Grand Forks 56, and Fargo at 55. Scott, this rain has got to stop at some point.
It has stopped in the oil patch. That's the best news. So it's finally in the western edge, at least given up the ghost, and looks like it's coming our way. At least till Friday. Friday night again, it creeps back into the forecast.
More rain.
Yeah, so they actually are getting a little bit of sunshine, a little bit out west today.
Well, it'd be nice to have a little sunshine. I don't know, it's an indoor event on Saturday, but it'd be nice to have a little sunshine on a great event on Saturday that we're going to have here in Bismarck, the Bismarck Civic Center.
I am so thrilled this event is happening, and we have the keynote speaker who will be speaking there, Captain George Burke, who is retired from the United States Air Force. He is a Vietnam veteran. He is a survivor of a plane crash, a burn survivor, now a motivational author and writer. And he will be part of this event that will be taking place on Saturday. It is a wonderful idea to thank veterans, specifically of Vietnam and of Korea. Of course, it's the 60th anniversary of the end of the Korean War, 40th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. So it'll happen Saturday at the Bismarck Civic Center. Folks invited from all across the state. Captain Burke, thanks for joining us to tell us a little bit about this today. We appreciate you.
Well, good morning from Scottsdale, where it's about 85 degrees and sunny and warm.
Way to rub it in.
You have to rub it in, don't you?
Besides the weather, and specifically with this event coming up, what's on your mind, Captain?
Well, good morning, and I appreciate the opportunity to be on your program. Thank you. I was invited by my host in February. Brad Vogel visited my website and explained the North Dakota Patriot Guard in the event and asked if I was interested and available. I said yes and yes. And through a series of emails and a few phone calls, they invited me, and I arrive Thursday late afternoon, and I depart Sunday. And they invited me to present the keynote address at the event at the Civic Center. And I'm very much looking forward to it. And if Brad's listening, and any of the executive board, again, thank you very much for not only what you do for the veterans through the Patriot Guard, but for my invitation to speak at the event.
Why did America, especially in the case of Vietnam veterans, treat a veteran so poorly? It just seems like one of the great black marks in American history that we did this, and that's why events like this are so precious, to be able to have a do-over, if you will. But why did it happen, George?
Oh, there's not enough time for me to explain from my perspective as a veteran on active duty at the time. I basically had two experiences with it, if you will. The why, it's social, it was political, frankly. The leadership in Washington at the time lost their guts. If President Nixon had done what he'd done with the B-52s 4, 5, 6 years earlier with the attacks, probably the Tet Offensive never would have occurred. But that's history. It was political. I know when I come home, I remember walking up the jetway at San Francisco International Airport. And I got spit on. And that happened to not just me, but a lot of my Vietnam veteran friends that have I've met over the years that have exchanged stories. And when I was injured on active duty, I had been back for a year and a half, and I was stationed at what was then Hamilton Air Force Base in California, just northeast, if you will, from San Francisco, about 50 miles. The town right outside the main gate is Novato, California, right on Highway 101 that runs north-south. I had mortars go to Okinawa, and I was on my last trip on an inspection team. We were bound for Spokane, Washington and Fairchild Air Force Base. And shortly after takeoff, the weather was quite bad that morning. We were in an Air Force T-29, tricycle landing gear, low wing, two engines. We had window crack, rapid decompression. The airplane pitched the on-roll. We had that occurred, as I found out years later, as I have with many of the events afterwards. We had rapid decompression and massive structure failure, 2,900 feet, and we crashed in a 2,000-acre cattle ranch in Shelbyville, California, which is just basically southwest of Sonoma. I remember everything except digging my way through a crack in the fuselage, seeing the standing up after the decompression and looking forward and down into the cockpit, and it was essentially destroyed. My boss was flying as a co-pilot. He was an Air Force colonel. And our pilot, although I do not recall seeing him decapitated, his head was off. And I sat back down on my seat and buckled my seatbelt for the second time and assumed a survival position. And I knew I was dead. The last conscious thought I remember having was, I hope my insurance policies are intact. Because the mother of my three children, our three children, they were 6, 4, and 2, and I remember the impact and being thrown back against the structural bulkhead on my airline type seat. And then when the airplane stopped moving, my face came forward and struck the table in front of us violently, broke my nose, although I had no sensation of blood or watery eyes. And I stood up and unbuckled my seatbelt and stood up a second time and yelled at one of the senior NCOs in the confront compartment with me, "Come on, Fred, let's get the hell out of here." Then it was like someone dumping large buckets of scalding hot water on me. Everything went black, and I opened my eyes right outside the airplane. Just a few yards from the aircraft, face down. And I rolled over on my back, and my hands were black. The skin was hanging off my hands. And to this day, I still recall somebody crying for help inside the airplane. So I rolled back on my stomach and elbows and knees clockwise, almost 180 degrees. Back a few yards to the airplane, heard a hissing noise, muffled explosion, great deal of heat in my face. And that's when the exhortations, the pejoratives began. Nobody's alive in this SOB, etc. So I crawled back to where I came and saw some bodies and was crawling over parts of the airplane and eucalyptus trees. Knew I was, if I sat there, I was going to die. And I forced myself on my feet and I felt a terrible pain in the lower part of my back. I thought, my God, my back's broken. And I said, you dummy. If your back was broken, you wouldn't be able to walk. Well, I walked on an old couch trail for about 40 minutes. I hollered several times to see if anybody was alive. And all I heard was snap, crackle, and pop. And the airplane was still involved. Top third had burned through. We had approximately 1,500 gallons of aviation fuel on board. And the crew, the pilot, co-pilot, flight engineer, crew chief, all of whom I knew, and the Air Force major who was on board as a navigator to get his 4 hours flight time that month, they were going to just drop us at Fairchild and turn around and go back to Hamilton. And then I walked and stumbled over and put myself in waist-high prairie grass to try to keep warm because it was misting and fog, and I had face from my neck up like I was being stung by millions of bees, and I had run my good hand, my right hand, through my hair, and I saw white ash appear across my face. And I pulled myself up in a prenatal position, and then what I refer to as the good cop, bad cop, one voice deep inside myself, my second self, my soul, was telling me to close my eyes and go to sleep. It would go away, but I knew instinctively, intuitively, that if I closed my eyes, I would die, and I didn't want to die. So I kept, I began to pray to God to not let me die in this field all alone. I didn't know where I was. I really didn't have a conscious, I knew consciously what had happened, but my out-of-body experience was trying to tell me that it was all a dream, that this wasn't really occurring. And then I somewhere deep inside my soul, I began to see holographs, pictures of my life, my children, their mother, my mother, my parents, Little League, Tiny League, Legion Ball, etc. And I was shaking so violently, the waist-high burgrass was as moist as it was vibrating, and I heard voices from below me, and I forced myself on my feet a second time.
We're up against the break right now.
Hey, over here.
Unbelievable story.
Captain, George, hang on. A miracle. Hold on for 1 minute. We're up against the break. This is What's On Your Mind.
Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
What's on your mind? I'm Steve Bakken along with Scott Hanna. We're talking with Captain George Burke, a retired U.S. Air Force veteran, Vietnam veteran, also a plane crash and burn survivor as well. George, just an amazing story. It's been considered a miracle is how it's been described, and it truly is. And I can't imagine what that does to someone's faith being in an accident like that. One other side of it is the PTSD. We hear more of it today than was the case back then and back in the era when Korean and Vietnam vets were there. Why is it coming out in the forefront now? Why is there a difference with post-traumatic stress disorder? It really wasn't addressed back in your era, was it?
No, it was not. If I might just back up a minute and briefly describe that. Unbeknownst to me, a rancher found me on fire. No one knew that for almost a year. I share how a hospital commander in Hamilton found an airplane and transported me two-thirds of the way across the country to Fort Sam Houston, Texas, in the burn unit, where I spent 89 days in the ICU.
Wow.
In a total of 18 months in a hospital. And threads of examples of how certain people happen to be lined up, if you will, in my life relative to my recovery, and what they did to me and for me, and they didn't let me quit and didn't let me give up. And I share some of the questions, many of the questions that have been asked of me over the years, primarily by my younger audiences. Do you still fly in an airplane? What's it like being burned? When did the pain go away? Do you believe in God? What do you appreciate now? What's the hardest thing you had to do after you left the hospital, et cetera? The best way I can answer your question is I remember sitting one day, and that's a loose term, if you will, when I was in a step-down facility, still pretty sick, legs wrapped. This is well before Job stockings. And they used to wrap our legs, for example, with gauze, white gauze. Many of us called them our menopause hose. Laugh, you live, cry, you die. Humor will get you through just about anything. Gallows humor. And I talked to my primary doctor, Walford W. Inch, who's retired, now lives in Dover, Delaware, who I've seen the last six or seven invites to the Naval Academy to speak at a seminar for senior midshipmen. What happens to the guys when they leave here, George, Doc? He said, George, we don't know. We heal the body. We don't have time for the mind. There were no programs, not just for the patients, the burn survivors, the ones, the guys that were wheeled out, carted out, walked out, but there were no programs for their families. They were so busy, they healed them and sent them home, sent them to VA hospitals. I know of a few guys that I was in the burn unit with that come back early from a 30-day convalescent leave, self-injured themselves again on the burn unit, on the ward, to keep from having to go to a VA hospital or to go home. The stories come back, and I was blessed. I've been blessed many, many different ways. I had a family that stuck with me, some senior officers in the Air Force that stuck with me. But these guys would come back and say that a certain family member, a friend, friends would say, you got what you deserve, baby killer. I now know, probably 15 years ago, I realized that I have what is now called post-traumatic stress disorder, along with survivor guilt, along with probably a TBI because of the impact of my body and my skull relative to the crash. I had broken nose, skull fracture, facial fractures. None of that was known. Vietnam, my friends, and the Vietnam Air veterans were, in the early to mid-70s, were fighting something called Agent Orange, that it was all in your mind. It's not real. Well, it is real, and it was real. It's now being treated because the military, thank God, since the first Gulf War, if you will, has a different slant, seen differently by most of the general population, the civilians in this country. And that is why these programs, PTSD and Survivor Guilt, Wounded Warriors, et cetera, are so valuable and so much in need, and why PTSD and Survivor Guilt are now acceptable methods of treatment. And my concern is that the ones that really have it get shoved to the back of the line by people that really don't have it to claim it. So it's a two-edged sword.
Captain George Burke is
political, and it's
Captain
money.
Sorry, Captain, didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's political. Bottom line, unfortunately, and bureaucracy. Sad deal. Quickly, in the short time we have left, I would like you to give folks a sense of what your message will be on Saturday. We do want to remind folks that Captain George Burke is the keynote speaker for this event that is taking place, sponsored by the North Dakota Patriot Guard. It is a Korean and Vietnam veteran welcome home ceremony to mark the 60th anniversary of the end of the Korean War, 40th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. It is an acknowledgement of the service and sacrifice of North Dakota veterans, Korean and Vietnam War veterans. Saturday, Bismarck Civic Center ceremony starts at noon. They're asking vets to register, and you can go to ndpg.org to do that. That's the North Dakota Patriot Guard, ndpg.org. Click on the Welcome Home 2013 bar on the left and complete the form and let folks know you're going to be there. So the registration begins at 10 a.m., but the ceremony starts at noon Saturday at the Bismarck Civic Center when vets will descend on Bismarck, which is fantastic. So we can say welcome home and thank you, something we didn't say before. Captain, what will your message to the vets be on Saturday?
I start with an edited Discovery Health Channel video, which is 8 minutes long. My story appeared on that channel about 10 years ago. I expand on the story relative to one of the themes at my website, www.georgeburk.com. That's George Burk, P-U-R-K.com. The three C's and a P of personal leadership: personal competence, personal courage, personal compassion, parentheses, love, and personal perseverance. I weave in some humor, some stories about my experiences as a burn survivor and what some of the lessons that I've learned in my life. And I'm there to also to honor the Korean veterans and my fellow Vietnam veterans and welcome them home. And I close with, time permitting, some questions from the audience. And that's the essence of my story about my survival, my journey, and the number of people that have played a role in my life, and there have been many. And my faith, that's one of the questions that some of the younger audiences have asked me, is do you believe in God? And my answer is resounding absolutely positively yes, because I had two near-death experiences while I was in the ICU, and I know they were real. And also, if I might mention, two of my four books are going to be available for sale through my my host and the executive board, Brad Vogel. They've decided that the net proceeds to the sale of from the sale of my two books, The Bridge Never Crossed, A Survivor's Search for Meaning, and Laugh You Live, Cry You Die, A Burn Survivor's Triumph Over Tragedy, net proceeds will be donated to the North Dakota Veterans Home.
Well, God Captain bless you, Bird, sir. We're out of time. Amazing.
Amazing story, and I hope folks are there to thank Vietnam and Korean War veterans, welcome them home on Saturday, and hear Captain Burke's message. Thanks so much, sir. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it.
We'll be right back with more of What's on Your Mind after these messages.
Here's a really good reason to shop Nelson Auto Center in Fergus Falls. 7 new vehicle brands to choose from on one lot. That means you can take a test drive in a new F-Series truck, then a new Ram, and follow that with a GMC Sierra. What a great way to compare trucks and choose the one you like best and do it all in one stop. Nelson's a great lineup of great cars, vans, and SUVs too. Ford, Lincoln, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram, plus GMC. Nelson Auto Center has them all. Your choice and the best buy always. And we deliver your vehicle free within 300 miles. NelsonFergusFalls.com. Exit 54, Fergus Falls.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Survivalists, for you, being prepared is more than just a precaution. It's a way of life. And now it's time to gear up at the Prepare to Endure Expo. Coming to the Kern County Fairgrounds in Bakersfield, California, Saturday and Sunday, June 8th and 9th. Together with the Wounded Heroes Fund and 511 Tacticals, listen to nationally known speakers like Tim Ralston from Nat Geo's Doomsday Preppers and the survival mom, Lisa Bedford. Take a survival class and learn skills that can save a life and last forever. Check out the latest and greatest products at the Longevity booth and shop for deeply discounted survival gear and preparedness items from over 60 vendors. Visit preparetoendure.com. Active military and kids 16 and under are free, and your ticket is good for both days. If you and your family attend one event this year, this should be it. Survival favors the prepared, and the Prepare to Endure Expo will entertain and educate everyone in your family. Saturday and Sunday, June 8th and 9th at the Kern County Fairgrounds in Bakersfield, California. Preparetoendure.com.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
This is What's on Your Mind with Steve Bach, and I am Scott Hannon. Here's our telephone number, 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. We started the program talking about the news a lot of folks have been chattering about this week, and that is the decision by the North Dakota Board of Higher Education to accept the resignation of Ham Shirbani and pay him out his contract. A lot of focus on the dollars and cents of that rather than how did we get to this point, which is one of the reasons we invited our next guest to join us and talk a little bit about it, a member of the North Dakota Board of Higher Education, Grant Schaff. And more of your calls, questions, and or comments welcome for Steve or I or our guests on our final half hour of this edition of What's on Your Mind. Grant, thanks for taking the time to chat today.
Yeah, morning, Scott.
Good morning, this Grant.
This is really kind of a sad chapter, isn't it? I mean, given the treatment of Chancellor Shirvani, given the way it ended, there's not a lot of reason to smile in higher education these days, is there?
No, there isn't. And as you know, for me, particularly disappointing because I was president of the Board of Higher Education at the time we brought Chancellor Shirvani in, and I chaired that search committee. And so I'm really vested in Chancellor Shirvani. And so it's a disappointment to me, not only professionally and with regard to the system, but, you know, there's a personal side to this, too, and I've gotten to know Dr. Shirvani and his wife, Fadi, and, you know, they're really fine people, and from that standpoint, it's, you know, it's extra disappointing.
You know, one of the things that I questioned, and I know, Grant, you were on the board and you were instrumental in bringing Shirvani in to fill that position. The question I have is, why would somebody be brought in, assigned a duty to clean up a system that was deemed needed some fixing, and then not allowed to do his job?
Well, and that's of course what you've seen, the struggle throughout the legislative session and following the session that we've had as a board. You know, some of the board members, including myself, knew that this was going to be a very difficult process and that we would go through an attack on the policies. We'd go through an attack on the messenger, which is Dr. Shirvani and the board. But ultimately the issue that we were fighting for is governance of the system, and were we going to govern the system as constitutionally mandated with a unified system and a strong chancellor, or were we going to pass that off to more of just a series of colleges and universities just being coordinated? And, you know, that really has been the struggle. I mean, I know the headlines are different personality issues and some of the sensationalized issues that have come before the legislature, but the struggle underneath all of this is really governance of the system. And as you know, and as my votes have reflected, that's why I wanted to support Dr. Shirvani as long as we could. I felt very strongly at our board meeting that it was necessary to continue with Dr. Shirvani to continue under his contract. As you can tell by the vote, that was the topic that the board struggled with, and ultimately we were deadlocked 4-4 on that, and then we moved on at Dr. Shirvani's request and entered into the separation agreement. Of course, as I always do, I ultimately support the position of the board, but But, of course, I'm disappointed in that. I thought we should move forward with Dr. Shivani. Coming out of the session, a lot of the baggage was behind us at that point in time, and I thought it was we were poised to make some big strides.
I want to play for you a clip of an interview that Chris Berg did with Chancellor Shivani this week on the news that he would be leaving as chancellor, and talk about an incident that he has confirmed has happened, and lead into the next question of what now? Where do you go from here when somebody's been treated this way, trying to implement the systems that you hired him to do, as we just talked about? Listen to this clip.
I'm from Bismarck, Chancellor Ham Shirovani. Chancellor, thanks for sticking around. One of the things you talked about, obviously, in your answer was about the personal attacks. There was so much rumor mill going on during the session about those personal attacks. One of the things I heard from someone very close to the higher ed system said that someone went out and actually defecated in your driveway and on your garage. True or false?
Yes, sir, it's true.
Now, what in the world does that say about opposition to an individual? And I don't know if you consider that, you know, opposition to the reforms, a personal attack. But, I mean, how are you going to be able to move on, hire somebody new in that position, and actually get about the business of implementing policies to have a system in North Dakota when a chancellor is treated in that fashion, Grant?
Well, and that's one of the great difficulties we're going to have. I remember back recruiting Dr. Shivani and some of the other candidates at that point in time, bringing them into North Dakota. And, of course, one of the things we tout is the great nature of our people and you know, the culture we have here in North Dakota. And, of course, Dr. Shivani and his wife experienced nothing of the sort. And I think you've also seen comments where he says, in retrospect, he probably would not have come to North Dakota. And, boy, you know, for me, it's a lifelong North Dakotan, that is just really something that we're not accustomed to seeing or hearing. And it certainly does make it difficult for us to recruit moving forward. Not as much on the personal attacks, although, you know, they're certainly shameful. But the fact that, you know, I really think it's going to be difficult for us to get somebody to leave an established position somewhere in higher education to move to North Dakota, knowing that, you know, the support for continuing the reforms may or may not be there.
Grant, I was talking with the president of NDSU on Monday. They were happy. They were happy that Shivani was going to be stepping aside. Given the vote that's coming up next year with whether or not there's going to be a Board of Higher Education, given this current turmoil, given the track record of resignations from chancellors, how do you find somebody before that vote takes place next fall? How do you find somebody to fill this position? That has got to be an undaunting task. I can't imagine a candidate coming in and going, yeah, I want that job.
And it is a daunting task, and what we're likely going to be left with is finding somebody who can come in and fill the position for about a two-year term. And that means that we're not going to be looking for a chancellor that's going to be coming in to guide the system for a long period of time as we did in this last search. We're going to be looking for more or less of a caretaker until the board gets to the point of the ballot. And therefore, I mean, the good news is there are people out there, you know, retired chancellors, retired presidents, things of that nature, or people of that nature that can come in. My big concern, though, is the board did make it crystal clear, regardless of their support for the chancellor personally, that they do back the policies. And I think it's very important for us to have somebody strong in that position who can move forward. I think one very telling comment came from one of our presidents in an article in the Grand Forks Herald, where one of the presidents said that, and I'm paraphrasing, but that they were glad that Shivani's term was over so that we can go back to a shared system of governance with the president. And I will tell you, the North Dakota Constitution says nothing about a shared system of governance. It talks about a North Dakota university system run by a chancellor. And when I get back to the issue at the heart of all of this is who's going to govern the campuses, the presidents or the board and the chancellor. That is what we're talking about. And that is why you hear from NDSU and other schools that they're happy about Dr. Shivani, because on the issue of governance, they have won the day, at least at this point.
Are the inmates running the asylum at this point? Is higher education from a university, individual university position with the presidents, are they out of control? Is there any way to rein them in? That's in part what Dr. Shivani was charged with.
Well, that is what he was charged with. And thankfully, at this point in time, you know, the Board of Higher Education's policies, which are the most important factor here, are still in place and still being implemented. But the difficult thing we have in the months ahead is to make sure that Dr. Shivani leaving isn't read as the board capitulating on the policies that we promulgated, because all members of the board, all 8 members of the board, clearly stated during our meeting that they still completely support the policies. And as disappointed as I am in losing Dr. Shivani, the more important thing moving forward is to keep intact the policies that we implemented under his guidance.
Our guest, Grant Schaff, member of the Board of Higher Education, here for a couple more minutes on What's on Your Mind. Questions welcome, 800-228-0550. We did have one very angry off-air caller saying, how sad is it we've given in to bullies, which is what schools across the nation are trying to get rid of. Was Ham Shivani bullied, Grant?
Well, I can tell you, as you know, there are a lot of issues that came up through the session, you know. Charges of fraud on the part of the chancellor, charges that he was trying to have some kind of an office suite that was out of control at the University of North Dakota. And one by one by one, every one of those charges was addressed, and of course, they were all unfounded. Most recently, we had an independent audit report that came out that said the whole charge of that he fraudulently represented the poor graduation rates of our institutions for the legislature. And, of course, the audit report came out and said, no, his data was absolutely accurate and correct. Problem, as you know, with the newspapers is, you know, the charge gets a big headline, but the clearance doesn't get much of a headline. And so that's what we dealt with over and over and over. And, you know, that, I think, you know, at least with some board members, took a toll.
Larry in Fargo, waiting to weigh in for our guest, Grant Schaff. Go ahead, Larry, your question for Grant Schaff.
Mr. Schaff, who do King Dean and King at UND, who are they answerable to? And I've got a follow-up.
Well, if you're talking constitutionally, they're answerable to the board.
No, reality. Who are they answerable to?
Well, we
no
have fire and fire.
That's the problem.
Yes, we still hire and fire presidents, and I don't agree. I mean, I do agree with you.
Oh, Larry, you cave into college presidents. Matter of fact, as a citizen of North Dakota, I'd like to see you and the rest of the Board of Higher Education resign. You have no faith among the people of North Dakota anymore. You are cowardly. You do nothing except kowtow to the UND and NDSU presidents. And with the scandals of Dickinson, you've done absolutely nothing.
All right, Larry, let me try to boil this down to a question in the short time we have left for Grant. And a lot of people have said this was a battle between NDSU, UND, and the rest of the, you know, university office and the system. Is that a fair characterization, Grant?
Well, I do, because you'll find also that many of the presidents did support Dr. Shivani, but we just don't really hear from them in that sense. I do remind the caller that, of course, the board split 4-4 on whether or not to continue Dr. Shivani's contract. I, of course, brought Dr. Shivani in for a very specific reason. I thought he was the guy to lead the system and do it exactly what I think the caller would like to see done. And I did vote to continue with Dr. Shivani, as did 3 other colleagues. Not to mean that I don't ultimately support...
Hold that thought, Grant, if you would. We're up against a break. We'll continue and finish this conversation on the other side of the break on a busy day. Don't go away.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top 2 manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
I want to tell you about a North Dakota product that gets rid of odors, the bad smells. This product is out of Zeeland, North Dakota. Daryl, tell us about odor medicine. What kind of smells can it destroy?
What odor medicine does, it destroys the odor molecule. Basically, it kills skunk smell, cat urine, mold, musty smells. If you got a camper that had a refrigerator that went out that's got a stinky smell in the refrigerator, it'll destroy the odor in that refrigerator permanently. And that's what it does. It basically destroys the odor so the odor will not come back. We give a 100% guarantee if that smell ever comes back, call us up or refund your money.
The stench of rotting meat in a freezer that lost power. Think of that. That odor destroyed. If you go to getridofsmellnow.com, use the promo code Scott, get 10% off your order, plus free priority shipping. Getridofsmellnow.com, 100% money back guarantee. You can't beat it, and it's North Dakota made.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
You've seen them on Doomsday Preppers. You've seen them on network television, Shipping Wars, and the History Channel. Now, the strongest shelters money can buy are here. Atlas Survival Shelters. Made in America from 10-foot diameter galvanized corrugated pipe, up to 11 times stronger than square box shelters, and built to last up to 200 years. And you won't believe the amenities. Atlas shelters contain microwaves, refrigerators, big screen TVs, water tanks, septic systems, bulletproof hatches, and much more. Virtually everything you have at home, just buried 20 feet deep and bombproof. See the amazing Atlas Survival Shelters at atlassurvivalshelters.com or call 1-855-4-BUNKER. That's 855-4-BUNKER or atlassurvivalshelters.com. Financing now available. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared.
What's in your mind? I'm Steve Bach along with Scott Hennen. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. We're talking with Grant Schaaf. Grant, please finish your comments. We were up against a break there.
Yes, Steve?
Yes, Grant. Continue speaking. An opportunity to finish your comments.
The clock cuts us all off sometimes.
Sure. We get a little cut off
there. What I wanted to indicate to your caller that had called in is just that we did have a split vote among the board, and there were four board members that strongly felt it was necessary to continue Dr. Shivani under his contract. And therefore, you know, although the way the votes all ultimately turn out, it's a unanimous vote, the struggle within the board was the secondary vote, and that was whether to move forward with the contract or not, which is a split vote.
The other question a lot of callers had concerning the contract was nearly $1 million for the buyout. Was there an option of continuing Dr. Shivani in his position until his current contract expired and not have to spend the money for another salary on top of a nearly $1 million buyout?
There was that option. And that was what the board essentially had before. It was one option to continue the contract through its full term or to, of course, enter into a separation agreement, which is what is referred to as the buyout. And when I talk about the primary vote that the board took, that was on that was on the motion that was made to either go with either the continuation of the contract or the separation agreement, and that's where the board was split 4-4. So yes, that option was available.
Do you think that Ham Shavani was correct in saying, hey, I want affirmation that I have this job for 3 years and I have your full backing? Or was that a guaranteed, you know what's coming next, the separation agreement discussion? I mean, was he right to ask for that? Does that make sense to you?
Well, I think he was, because that's what a chancellor should expect from their board. A lot of people don't know this because it wasn't highly reported, but we spent the previous day with one of the most nationally renowned experts in higher education, former chancellor of Colorado and Minnesota systems, former undersecretary of state for higher education, David Longenecker, spent the whole day with the board telling us that the policies that had been enacted under Dr. Shavani were correct, that it was the way the system should be moving, and the board stood behind those policies. So I think it's reasonable at that point in time for a chancellor to say, listen, you know, you hired me to be your CEO. I need to know that I have the full board's backing. And I think it was a reasonable request, and that was what was ultimately before the board.
And another question, I actually had a listener send an email saying I can relate to Ham's experience. When I opened my business in the mid-90s, I received a lot of hate mail and comments about being an outsider. I can totally relate to what he's feeling. Unfortunately, it's not uncommon to get this kind of response when you come from out of state and trying to make changes. I know that from personal experience. I've heard a lot of other people say that, too, that, you know, this was sort of the North Dakota machine chewing this guy up, spitting him out, and doing it in a brutal way, which, again, goes to this larger issue of knowing that, having it been very public, how in the world do you ever get somebody else? Do you think that's fair that, like, this person felt that this is sort of the system of being, hey, you're not from here, being part of the problem?
Yeah, it is hard to understand. You've all seen the anecdotal comments about, you know, the way the chancellor dresses, all of these ridiculous things. But what's more telling is the fact that, we, through the fellow who testified and worked with the board during our retreat, said, you know, Shavani came in coming from a culture of what is most accepted in higher education and what works from the California university system. And so, you know, I'm sure that he was somewhat shocked to come in and find that there would be this much resistance to what is a best practice essentially across the country.
Was this good old boy network at its finest, the backdoor politics, all the stuff we think we don't have here in North Dakota?
Well, we do have that here in North Dakota. You know, I've been in the legislature and on the Board of Higher Education, and yeah, there is some good old boy hardcore politics at play, and there's no question about that. But, you know, we're also big boys on the Board of Higher Education, and, you know, we understand that this is how some of these things are played out. Unfortunately for somebody like myself, we came up a vote short in Medora with regard to Dr. Shavani.
Where does that leave the board right now?
Well, we have Dr. Shavani continue as chancellor through July 15th. During that time, he'll wrap up some of the pressing matters that we still have to deal with during the summer.
What are those matters?
At our June 20th, well, we have president's evaluations, we have strategic goals, we have another, you know, implementing some of the things that come out of the legislature. So there's the ongoing business of higher education. But more importantly, we'll have a meeting June 20th out in Botno, and I think at that point in time, that's how we'll discuss how are we going to move forward with filling the chancellor's position now.
Grant Schaff, Board of Higher Ed. What would you say the morale of the board is right now after this very difficult legislative session and tenure? A few seconds for your answer.
Well, it's mixed. It's mixed because, of course, we do have disappointment at losing Dr. Shavani, and those of us who are fully invested in him really feel that this is a big blow to the board and to the system. But
you're committed to the system.
Yeah,
I heard you earlier. I'm just going to rephrase because we're out of time. at least there is a commitment to saying there needs to be a system. That's the important thing. We'll chat more about this tomorrow, folks. Thanks for listening. See you.
At Butler Machinery, we're not just about track tractors. Butler now offers industry-leading wheeled tractors. For a limited time, take advantage of 0.9% financing for 60 months on Challenger row crop tractors like the MT5 and 600D series. From top to bottom, end to end, these high-horsepower row crop tractors from Challenger prove their proficiency day after day, field after field. And with 0.9% financing for 60 months, now is the time to contact your local Butler Machinery. Visit butlermachinery.com today.
Hi, Kent French with Lichty Homes, inviting you to a Lichty Sales Center near you. If you live in North Dakota, South Dakota, or Montana, Lichty Homes is the leader in quality homes. We offer the top two manufactured and modular homes, Schult and Bonavilla. See these quality homes at a Lichty Homes Sales Center near you. Bismarck, Jamestown, Minot, Rapid City. And remember, Lichty Homes has a finance package for you.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Hi, I'm Steve Shank, founder of eFoods Direct. Right now, we have a huge number of Americans that are in serious trouble right smack dab in the middle of the Oklahoma disasters. I know that thousands of you, like us, are frustrated with not being able to help those who have lost so much and are in so much pain. We can't stand idly by. Food is the best way to help the victims and support the relief effort. We have a plan for any of you who would like to partner with us in providing food in this desperate time of need. We've built a 7-day emergency food package containing breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a whole week for one adult, valued at $60. Your $25 will ship this life-saving supply directly to those in need. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com. The food is contributed at considerably less than cost. Thank you.